we missing? Yeah, Steve.
He was here and he went back to caucus, but he knows we need a six, so I'm sure he's on his way.
We can start with that.
Very good. We'll start the conference committee on the team stewardship pilot program. And we do have a few differences here that we have to work ourselves out and all month about side by side, just kind of work through the differences. Have you gone over the side by side?
Yes, I have, yes.
Maybe we can have you start off, I guess, by pointing out some of the major differences and
absolutely.
Highlighting one and go through it that way.
Okay. I will. Starting with section one of the bill. In the definitions area, two definitions have been added on the House side. The definition for commissioner, which is of Commissioner Pollution Control Agency, and definition of distributor. Also, there were just some minor word changes and some different formatting from numbering ones to letters. So that's a slight difference. Also, in the paint stewardship fee, at the end of line 1.17, there's a slight difference in the fee that's paid covers the amount of the consumer paid stewardship fee, and at the end it's on line 1.20 on the House side. That is equal to. And also in line 1.19, it's just a difference of the state and this state on one side or the other, so it's not too much different. Sure. It's similar, yes. And the same is as well in line 1.21 and 1.24, retailer. It also says in this state on the House side. We do have a new subdivision 2 purpose section on the House side. And that merely establishes the purpose of the paint stewardship pilot program, and there is no purpose section in the Senate side.
Mr. Chairman, do you like comments as we go along, or you want to go?
That'd be fine.
A couple of us are here a little early and heard a little discussion about why we need the purpose clause in this because of the antitrust, anti-competitive. Mm-hmm. Do you want to? I know there's somebody in the audience could talk to that, or do we need to do that?
I think if you had a chance, did everybody have a chance to look at the, I mean, we have, but Representative Osmond, did you get a chance to look at the bill?
I have.
All right, well, if we do that, might as well. We can go piece by piece and take care of some of these statements. And if someone wants to come forward and give some testimony on that, we can do that this time. Anyone?
Basically,
if you would mind, if you identify
introduce myself, sure, absolutely.
Sit down so the mic
sure.
Pick you up.
Oh, okay. I'm Allison Keene. I'm one of the Environmental Council for the Government Affairs Division of the National Paint and Coatings Association in Washington, D.C. And we are very concerned about the antitrust implications, obviously, of trying to do this pilot program, which is why we need the implementing language from the state of Minnesota to allow us to undertake the pilot program and to utilize the sustainable financing system or the eco fee. Right now, the provision that you'll get to later gives us coverage from antitrust or anti-competitive actions to the extent we need necessary to undertake the pilot program in Minnesota, but in also order to overcome a federal antitrust issue, we also need very strong supervision and purpose from the state. So the purpose clause would obviously take care of that. Very strong governmental purpose is the reason that Minnesota is allowing us to undertake this program, and the federal government would recognize that as basically a state action doctrine. And later on,
right?
Yes, I put together sort of a little one pager with the bullet points that you'll see later on. There's a couple other provisions that my outside counsel and the retail outside counsel for antitrust would like to see in that, again, to provide the ultimate implementation and supervision from the state for us to enable us to do this program.
So, Ms. King, you're the
these clauses in here that are in the House version, you feel that all of those are necessary to meet the needs from the federal level and state level?
Right, in order. Yes. And basically, I believe they all pretty much go to the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, you know, having some supervisory role and us reporting out to them, as well as keeping some information business confidential about the individual, you know, manufacturers and the costs per market share going in.
Any questions from the committee on that?
Thank you.
You want to say anything more about that purpose statement
there? Well, no, Mr. Chairman, I was wondering if you wanted to adopt these sections as we go through. Those that have been through section one.
That'd be fine. We can do that as, if we can. Does everyone feel comfortable with the language on the House side, the commissioner added and the distributor?
Mr. Chairman, I am. The only suggestion I would have in line 16 and on line 24, delete in this state.
And how about 22?
In 22.
Do we need to make a motion on that?
I'll move adoption of section 1 with those changes.
There's another in this state of 1.18 as well.
Yeah.
All
right.
Sorry.
Senator Ferguson moves adoption of the House language, section 1, without the language of in the state on lines 1.16, 1.18, 1.22, and 1.24. Is there any discussion on that? Question on that?
Mr. Chair, I think it'd be section 1, subdivision 1.
You're correct. I'll make that note. Any other discussion? On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move adoption of subdivision 2. I have a question of counsel on placement. Typically in the Senate bills, we see purpose as the first thing in the, mm-hmm.
Yeah. In the article. Senator Fredrickson, I would agree. Normally we put the purpose first before the definitions.
Yeah, purpose clause and have it at the beginning of the article. Okay. Any further discussion on that? On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Yes. Continuing with subdivision 2 in the Senate version and subdivision 3 in the House version, the only real changes or differences I noticed here were, it seems that in the House version, they tried to add architectural in front of paint, for example, on line 2.11, just to distinguish it from other types of paint. Also, the House version seems to change to strike the term life cycle on line 2.4 and turns it more into the describing the cost of collecting, storing, transporting and reusing or disposing. So that would be in the House version. In the House version, they do not have the date there. That's found on line 2.5 of the Senate side. There is no by July 1st, 2008 on the House side. Okay.
Regards to the date, do we need to have the July 1st, 2008 date
twice
in this section? And is there I'm not sure why we had it in the Senate side, but was there something specific on the cost recovery system that had to be implemented by July 1st, or is there some? I thought I read something that was concerned possibly about that.
No, I don't believe you need it twice, but we did. Have the change in language from by July 1st to starting July 1st, just to make sure that folks knew that we would start implementing on July 1st. We wouldn't have everything done by July 1st, as this is a pilot program. That would be a start date, not a full implementation date.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. King, you say in the memo that you gave us that you think that we need another 3 months instead of date to be October 1st? Is that in this section or some other section?
No, that was if we were going to have full implementation by a date, we would need at least another 3 months. But
by starting?
Yeah, by changing it to starting, that takes care of that issue.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay.
Unless it's our idea that we adopt 2.5 to 2.14 of the House side. Deleting a bunch of in the states. 2.6 and 2.11. Deleting in this state.
And now is that section subdivision 3 is what we're looking at? Right?
Yeah, it's part of it.
Okay, just 2.5. Senator Higgins moves lines 2.5, adoption of the House line to 2.5, 2.14, minus in the state on 2.6 and 2.11. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Continuing on the next page, House side changed the word all architectural paint manufacturers to each architectural paint manufacturer on that first line. The House side also provides to whom the states, to whom the fees must be paid. The Senate side did not say who would receive the fees. That's part one. The moving down to line 2.18 on the House side, again, it uses each Minnesota retailer or distributor of architectural paint. It's slightly different from the Senate language. And again, they continue to use architectural paint instead of just calling it paint. Moving down to the next part, they added an "and" on the House side in front of architectural. And it's in front of Minnesota retailers instead of there. Distributors of, they took the out of in front of architectural paint. Those were just minor changes in that paragraph. Again, moving down to B on line 2.18 on the Senate side, there was another by July 1st, 2008. And that is not on the House version. Also, the a uniform consumer paint stewardship fee on the Senate side, it said must be established. On the House side, it says is established. Let's see. On the next line 2.27, the assessed consumer paint stewardship fee must be reviewed was added. It must be reviewed by the commissioner of the PCA was added. And then there's a significant difference in the maximum amount to be charged for the fee for on the Senate side, it's 50 cents. And on the House side, it's 30 cents per gallon. The House version also adds per container in addition to per gallon. I'll continue on with C. There was only one difference in C, and that was that is designed on line 2.23 was taken out. That was just a minor change. Then, Mr. Chair, should I continue? Okay. The next provisions, it sounds like, were added because of the anti-competitive requirements. The paragraph D provides that the PCA may appoint an independent auditor to review the program. Paragraph E, this was an exemption for public or private educational institutions that provides that they're exempt from the paint stewardship fee. However, the next sentence states that they need to provide documentation required by the commissioner as to how they're using the paint. And then the retailers and distributors need to retain the documentation of how much paint they sold to these educational institutions. That's the rest of subdivision 3.
Are those sections 2.3 or 2.33 lines down to 3.5, those are the amendments that were made on the House side when it was on the floor there prior to being passed. And I think as we've discussed this with the stakeholders, there's some, especially from 2.35 to 3.5, some issues there, the viability of trying to implement that, especially in a pilot project. That the savings generated by exempting these institutions for the paint they might purchase during this time period, the costs involved trying to implement it are just way exceed any savings. And I would oppose that particular language, just at least at this point. If it's something, once we do the study on this project, that they can find a way to prepare rebates or whatever to allow for that, I think that would be a more appropriate approach.
Senator Dahl?
Representative Saylor.
To that point, if anybody wants to hear testimony from retailers, if that would be helpful. I don't know if we want to take any more time or not, but I think there is a representative here, if we want to.
Certainly. Let's take a minute or two, if you wouldn't mind, if you would like to step and just introduce yourself and your perspective on that issue.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Buzz Anderson with Minnesota Retailers Association. From our perspective, as you pointed out, 2.35 to 3.5 could be problematic for retailers. I mean, first of all, what kind of documentation are you going to need? And for us then to have to keep that documentation for how long could also be problematic. I think it's rather cumbersome, probably unnecessary, and the amount of money that people are going to save is so insignificant, it's probably not worth the paperwork and grief, pain, and sorrow that it's going to put everybody through. I understand the reason for having inserted it. I just don't know that it's really necessary.
One question, Mr. Anderson, not necessarily this, but just in general, from the retailer's standpoint, they like this program, this idea of the pilot project?
Yes. Okay. Yep. And I might say that all the parties involved have been worked very closely with the retailers to hear our point of view and to bring us into the whole conversation from beginning to end, the authors and all the other players from the different perspectives. So very pleased with having had the opportunity to state our viewpoint and have it recognized.
Any other members have questions for Mr. Anderson?
I'll move the House language for 2.15 to 2.24, taking out in this state in 2.17, 2.19, and 2.23, changing the word such to these, the, which is what's known as the Frederickson Amendment.
Sales in this state in this project. I mean, I don't know how much paint gets sold outside of the state from retailers and manufacturers within the state. We want to keep that.
We don't get to determine what happens outside of the state. We're only the Minnesota legislature.
I still know, but as this pilot project, this fee that we're imposing, that would be placed on, I mean, I don't know, the taxes that we pay outside the state, sometimes we don't, there isn't a sales tax and things are sold outside of the state. Do we put it, impose the fee in the same way? Is that what we want to do, or just for paint that's sold within the state? I suppose that doesn't, that would be pretty onerous to try to determine that as well on this particular project. Mm-hmm. Okay. In the state, 2.17, 2.19.
2.23
changed such to the. Such to the 2.23. And was there a change on this is and must on 2.26?
That was just a difference.
Okay, we got that. Okay. Any other discussion on that? On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. now, we should have a little further discussion on the section B as well. This was a change that went from 50 cents to 30 cents and then added a per container as an issue. And I know that we should get a little testimony on that as well. Your thoughts, Representative Saylor?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The change from 30 cents to, or 50 to 30, was something that came about on the House floor. And I'm not opposed to that. I mean, it was something that I certainly accepted, trying to find a way to address some real concerns from members and people, I think, outside of the legislature as well, just at the cost. You know, is it really going to cost, 50 cents per gallon or per container? And then furthermore, kind of going on with that per container, that language was specific to working with contractors, because the container was really the 5 gallons, because they wanted to have that 5 gallons still coming under the 50 cents or the 30 cents, whichever that number would have been. I think we ran into some opposition and concern, and I think Senator Dahl and I share that too, on the small side of the containers, the pints, the pints and the half pints. And we've had discussion about saying maybe the 30 cent fee should be for quarts and above, exempting the pints and half pints of architectural paint and stain from that. However, we have, there would be some testimony, I think, from the National Paint and Coating. They had some thoughts on this, and I think that, I know I received email on that. I don't know if the rest of you did as well, but I think we might want to, hear what they have to say about that. But at the same time, I think Senator Dahl and I have had a number of conversations wanting to stay at the 30 cents per gallon, and then keep that per container language on there, which would be something that would be beneficial to the contractors.
Per container
above yeah, and I don't know if Mr. Eliff is able to get language for that. We were to say per container above a quart and above. Yeah. 1 quart and above.
Okay. So I guess if we can get some testimony on that issue, Ms. Keene, if you wanted to speak again on that.
Sure, thank you. Thank you very much. Representative Saylor's right. The reason that we inserted per container is basically we're trying to model this after successful programs that are up in Canada right now. Technically, we're not allowed to talk about the fee or setting the fee before we get this implementing language, but of course we've thought a lot about it, and we actually have contracted with Product Care in Canada, who is the product stewardship organization that's running the programs in most of the provinces, to take a look at that and see what they expected a budget would be and what we would need to recover the costs. The two ways that it's done in Canada right now are per container flat fee. It does give a discount for the contractors. It also is very easy to implement from a manufacturer and a retail standpoint. You don't need a whole bunch of tracking mechanisms. It's, just a flat fee given the container costs. The other way it is done, however, may seem a little bit more equitable, and that's the discussion around paying the same amount for a half pint as you would for a 5 gallon, and that would be a per gallon charge. It would look something like 10 cents for the small containers, 40 cents per gallon, and a dollar for the 5 gallon containers. Again, we got a lot of feedback from the retail establishments that they didn't like the complexity in reporting and passing those costs along to the consumer. My manufacturers didn't necessarily like the complexity either in paying those fees, and the contractors certainly didn't like being charged for what they consider doing a really good business job and buying the right amount of paint, that it's not an issue for them. So we have been discussing it and probably are leaning towards the per container charge, and that's why we put in the per container as well as per gallon, and why we did not oppose the reduction of the fee from 50 cents to 30 cents. Basically, that would preclude us from doing the per gallon at this point. We would need about 40 cents. However, when we discussed exempting out the smaller containers with Product Care and my members yesterday afternoon and this morning, it appears that about 25% of the sales are in those small containers, so it would have an impact on the cost, and they don't believe at 30 cents per container we would be able to recoup those costs. So that poses a problem in that we don't want to start out a program believing that we will have a deficit, you know, before we even start, as far as projected budget.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Keene, if we move the fee to 35 or 40 cents, could we recover the cost of those very small containers?
If you moved it from 35 to 40, we would be able, but exempted the containers out, we would be able to fund the program.
Could we do it at 35, or would it have to be 40?
Yes. Sorry. Thank you. Not great at the procedure here either. Sorry. I believe the projection right now would be 35 cents. I'm very hesitant to commit to that because, again, we don't particularly know what we're doing, and we haven't sat down and, you know, crossed all the T's and dotted the I's. Again, without the implementing legislation, it's difficult. It's sort of a catch-22. We believe at this point 35 cents would cover the cost of the program. I would be more comfortable with having the flexibility of the 40 cents, knowing that we will have it reviewed by the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency and be able to work with both the retail end as well as the distributor end to come up and the contractors to come up with what we believe is appropriate and adequate.
Mr. Chairman, perhaps we could go to 40 cents and then add a phrase at the end of that sentence that said, shall not exceed 40 cents per gallon or container or recover more than the cost of the program.
Do we have, is there language in it that's already addressing it that way? Does Representative Saylor?
Senator Dahl, I'm just wondering, how would we know what the cost of the program was? I mean, if we're assessing the fee as people, manufacturers, and, you know, people are buying this, how would we know when to quit charging?
Representative Bobbins. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Saylor, as I read this, that's one of the beauties of the program is that we are not doing it. It'll be the manufacturers to determine as to what the appropriate fee is, and it'd be really great if they could just incorporate it right into their overall cost and just maybe let people know that there is a recycling charge occurring. We had the little advantage, Senator Fredericks and I, that because we were able to sit here and discuss this for about an hour and with other people that were here, and so we kind of went through over some of this stuff to find see if we could come up with some options. The thing that I was expressing to Senator Fredrickson was that I'm very concerned that because of the fee is a tax buzzsaw that I ran into at the House, that's also going to be articulated quite strongly to the governor. And if there's a way for us to be able to verbalize our expressions of what we want to have accomplished in this program in a way that can really give us some insulation between that type of rough-edge explanation, we may have a better chance of getting this legislation actually into law. And I'll turn it back over to Senator Fredrickson, if you don't mind, because he's the one that's been doing most of the work on it.
All right. And so you want to revert back to this language that you're
Mr. Chairman, yes, I was suggesting that.
So,
be, you know, even more express even more intent of the legislature that they aren't to collect more in fees than the program costs.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Higgins,
I think your must not exceed. I wrote it down and then I erased it partway through. Should be after the word program on 2.26. It must be sufficient to recover the cost of the program, but not whatever you said, Senator, and shall not exceed however much we decide.
And the phrase I use, recover more than the cost of the program.
Say it again, please.
Must not recover more than the cost of the program.
Okay, so, so Mr. Chair, I think that's, I think Senator Ferguson and Representative Osmond are on the right track.
Okay.
Anything that we can do to make a fee and not a tax, by spelling it out really clearly is
but
a good
must
thing.
Not.
Mr. Chair, I missed the first move to what comes
could
before
we?
The must not recover.
Okay, let's go through that one more time then.
Okay. So, Mr. Chair, it would be on 2.28,
yep.
After the word program,
okay.
And must not recover more than the cost of the program, and then continue on as and shall not exceed whatever amount we choose.
40 cents.
I think 40 is probably the right, if it turns out to be 35 that they need, then that's what the PCA will set it at. Do I understand that correctly? But
Mr. Chair, 40 like the PCA wouldn't set it. It
well,
would be the PSO.
It would be who?
The Paint Stewardship.
Oh, oh.
The organization.
Right.
Of,
right.
For the manufacturers on this program. Representative Taylor?
Mr. Chair, I'm just wondering, then where did we put in language or did we yet about exempting the pints and the half pints?
Yet.
Have not done that.
All right.
Could that, the Chairman and Council, could that be done in the definition section? Where do we use container?
Senator Fredrickson, Mr. Chair, I think we could create a definition for container, and we could say container means.
Or we could add it to the paint stewardship fee definition, indicating that the fee
yeah.
is only on certain. Kinds of containers,
yeah.
certain
yeah,
sizes.
That might be better.
Sold mm-hmm. in containers of 1 quart or more.
All right, let's see where we're at here. So suggestion is from Senator Higgins that we would add in line 1.16 under consumer paint stewardship fee at the end that architectural paint sold in containers of 1 quart or larger.
1 quart or more.
Or more.
1 quart or larger. Either one. Pick a word.
Okay. Anyone have a preference? Prefer the
larger.
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 Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's start there.
I'll need that.
Senator Higgins moves that on line 1.16, section 1, that we add after sold in containers of 1 quart or larger. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Okay, then moving back to page 2.28, after program, we would insert and must not recover more than the cost of the program. Representative Osmond.
I have a concern with regard to the prescriptiveness of that statement, what happens, and I always have advisors. What happens if they collected $1 more than what it cost them? Are they in violation of the law? We may need to pick out a little better.
Substantial more or significant was my concern.
Sound good. We can't
define
them.
We have a similar, Mr. Chairman. We have a similar provision in general law in the state that says fees cannot either over collect or under collect the fees. We must cover the cost of the program.
Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What about something like must not retain? I mean, they might collect it, but they just can't retain the excess.
Where should they
and then what?
Put it?
Not sure. That's the thing. It's very hard to give this back to consumers.
Mm-hmm. Significantly more?
The operative words are must not collect more than that. I don't know that that's a problem.
Does anybody else have any suggestions?
Ms. King.
Steel.
the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency's thunder, but we were talking earlier about the provision, and I'm not sure if this will help or not, that the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency may appoint an independent audit. We would, if it helps, we would agree to just providing that independent audit. I don't know if that gives another layer of supervision. We also talked yesterday a little bit about if we intend on being successful and continuing this program, and as a nonprofit organization, you would the cost of the programs would go back into, you know, programmatic cost, and just by statute, if it's a 501c3, you're not allowed to make a profit or have those. That would be another layer. We talked yesterday, however, that if we were not successful and the program had to end, if we did have surplus funds, that they would go back into the HHW program. That might be a solution as well.
Back to definitions on that, or the fees.
You know, because I wasn't listening. I mean, I listened to part of the House discussion, but I tuned out at a certain point, and I know it's a terrible thing to think about. So I missed the whole tax and fee discussion, but we've had it in our world as well. But maybe strengthening that definition of the fee. Maybe there's somebody who can make that more of a definition of a fee as opposed to a tax. And we can maybe put that aside until we get through the rest of it and come back at this point.
That's not a bad idea. Maybe we can just let that settle in for a minute and come up with something, and we can move on to the rest of this and get that out of the way. So that would be the
biggest thing. At this point, I will move in the House language, 2.25 to 2.32, with these changes so far, and we may come back to it again. 2.27, delete in the state. 2.29, delete 40 cents and insert 30 cents. No, the other way around.
30 cents.
Yeah, 30 cents to 40 cents. And then I believe we can delete per gallon or, and then it's just 30 cents per container. Is that right?
40 cents per container.
Sorry.
That's correct.
Let's write it for you, and I maybe will stop saying it. So that last sentence would say, the assessed consumer paint stewardship fee must be reviewed by the commissioner, must be sufficient to cover the cost of the program, and shall not exceed 40 cents per container. And that's, I think, what we know about so far.
Any discussion? Representative
Austin. Well, I'm wondering about how this impacts really out there in the real world, because some of these containers, I mean, given the quart size, you're talking about smaller dollar amounts. And so the 40 cents all of a sudden shows up quite large, where it doesn't show up that large on a gallon or whatever. I'm wondering if that's the intent of essentially the program, or if you expect to put 40 cents on every container, or including on a varied amount based upon a gallon equivalent. So in a smaller container, it's actually a smaller amount. So is that impossible to do, or what's the... Could we get some questions?
Yes, we'll have Ms. King testify on that again.
Sure. It's not impossible. The two systems are in place right now. The per gallon would go to varying the amount from the small containers up to the 5 gallon, you know, basically per gallon or per volume basis. Is more problematic from a complexity standpoint as far as tracking is concerned with the retail industry and frankly as far as payment is concerned from the manufacturers. But it can be done. And that was the point of having it in there. And then the per container would be, no, we'll just have a flat fee across the board. It's less complex and does give that discount to the contractor market who was very concerned about this and doesn't believe that they add to the volume of paint that needs to be managed in Minnesota in the same capacity as a DIYer, basically a do-it-yourselfer, so that you would get a discount for the contractual paint, and you'd be paying a little bit more than on the smaller containers or a gallon, but it would be a flat rate across the board. It also covers, again, the container fee. The container needs to be recycled as well. So you're always going to at least have a container, regardless of the amount of paint that's in it when it comes through. And those two options are meant to be in there because it simply hasn't been decided yet.
So, Ms. Keene, if I understand, we say not to exceed 40 cents per container. It could be that a system could be set up that it could be 10 cents for one size container and up to 40 cents for the larger
container. It could
container.
Be, yes.
That was chosen by the organization, that it was doable and to work that out.
Right, along with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, right.
Do we feel obligated to spell that out in here, or can we just leave it up to the PCA and the organization to work out those details?
I'm of mind that we leave that up to them because this is a pilot project to see what's going to work best and wait for their report as to which way to go. Rather than stay with this.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, what I was wondering about was, you know, if the retailers had anything else to add on that, the 40 cents, you know, just basically, does your information support what Ms. Keene said, or do you have a different view of that? How would that work out in the state for retailers?
Mr. Chair, Representative Saylor, first of all, it's a pilot program, and we don't really know how it's going to be designed yet. But what I've said from the very beginning is keep it simple. And the more complicated you make it to administer, the more complicated you make to price it, you know, the more difficult, you know, the whole pilot program is going to become. One of the things I've talked about with manufacturers, some of whom are also retailers like Hirschfield's, is the fact that we don't want to make this really complicated. That's why I think we were trying to go to the per container approach as opposed to the per gallon. As Allison, Ms. Keene has mentioned, one of the problems we've had through this whole discussion is that the contractors, although they buy in 5-gallon containers, don't have much paint left when they're done because they're very good about figuring how much they actually use. So I think it's probably better if we remain silent on it, and if we decide that it's better just to go, you know, 40 cents per quart, that's what we'll do. I mean, they'll be sensitive to that as retailers / manufacturers as well. I know what Representative Osmond is saying, Mr. Chair, that some consumers might be concerned if it's 40 cents per quart, but paint is pretty expensive. I don't know if they'd notice it anyway, and it will be built into the cost, although there will be some sort of consumer notification at the other end to let them know that 40 cents has been built in or some amount has been built in as a recycling vehicle.
I just really think that we do need to address, you know, that small container exemption. And, you know, if we take out the pints and the half pints as we have at this point, you know, certainly the slack has to be picked up somewhere, and then we decide, well, do we start picking it up at quarts? Do we start at gallons? You know, and ultimately whoever's at the bottom end of that as far as quantity is, you know, going to say that they don't like the 40 cents or the whatever it is, you know, 50, 30. But we do have to draw that line somewhere. And it just seems to me that, you know, if 40 cents is reasonable and you expect that, according to the manufacturers, that will recoup the costs, and at the same time with putting in that exemption for basically those pints and half pints, which is really what the small do-it-yourselfers are, you know, have been concerned, will be concerned about, and they're going to see a lot bigger difference on that. I guess I would like to see it at, you know, the 40 cents as we have it right now, leaving the little ones out and just saying that the folks with the quarts are going to maybe see the bite. But I don't also know percentage-wise how many quarts are sold. I think about if you go to a paint store and you walk along, you know, what percentage of shelf space is to quarts compared to gallons? Then again, you've got size and number. I don't know what that number is, but I'm suspecting that you sell a lot more
gallons than you do quarts, based on what comes into household hazardous waste programs.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hader, I'm not really sure about that. I could try to find some numbers for you. What I do know is I can tell you that in the Anderson household, we always buy a gallon instead of three quarts because three quarts cost more than a gallon. So how many other people price that way, I don't know.
On that note, though, as we heard testimony that we're looking at the contractors who are doing a good job of, you know, estimating how much paint they're going to use and, you know, try to stay within their limits so they don't have waste. I think people who buy, they go in to buy a pint. Because they're not trying to buy more than they need. And so I don't want to see a penalty for having them pay for something where they're trying to be, you know, economically responsible as well, or environmentally responsible as well. So I like the idea of keeping this, you know, at the court level and above. I'm comfortable with the 40 cents that everyone else is as well. As far as the line about not to, you know, not to exceed the covering the cost, maybe we can be simple as you know, it must be sufficient to recover yet not exceed the cost of the program.
Okay. I would move that.
Okay. Then Senator Fredrickson moves that we would insert after recover yet not exceed.
But not to exceed.
All right.
No, we don't need the two.
All right. But not okay. Exceed. All right. So it would read,
thank you.
Must be sufficient to recover but not exceed the cost of the program. Any discussion on that? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Excellent. So then, Mr. Chair, I'll move 2.25 to 2.29 as amended and amended and amended. So.
On that motion, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. All right. So we can move on. Ms. Doyle, where we left off, was that, I think, that's subdivision 4?
Is that yes,
there?
That is.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry, we did.
Mr. Chair, I move House language for 2.30 to 3.2.
Okay.
Substantially the same.
Yes. On that motion, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. On that, so 2.30 to 2.32, we've adopted that. Now, on 2.33 to 2.34, is that language acceptable, or do we need to have, as Ms. Keene had suggested, having something, a different auditor here? How do we address that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we would certainly like to support what Ms. Keene articulated earlier in terms of having the paint stewardship organization conduct an independent audit annually, transmit that to the agency, and then have us include that in the report that we're required to provide to the legislature under Section 3.
I haven't said, talk about, we don't have any definitions here, so I can see as a paint stewardship organization. We have to add that into the definitions, then we're going to add them as.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. I think the closest we come is on lines 216. Talk about the representative organization implementing the paid stewardship pilot program. That's where the fee is paid to, who the fee is paid to.
All right. I guess my question then is, do we need to be any more prescriptive or descriptive on that representative organization?
Mr. Hickman, are you still back there? You are. The language as the House side has it now, would that be sufficient for the PSO to do the audit, or do we, I mean, can we just stay silent on the whole issue of audit and y'all just make it happen?
Mr. Chair, Senator Higgins, that's certainly one option, but I think in terms of addressing some of the concerns that have been articulated regarding the proper oversight of the program, and obviously acknowledging that Representative Hackbarth offered this as an amendment, it was adopted, that certainly having the industry conduct that audit, provide it to the agency for us to review, and then include it in our report under Section 3 certainly sounds like it would be an additional check, particularly on the financial side of the equation, which has certainly been a topic of the discussion.
So, Mr. Chair, Mr. Hickel, does this language do what you need, what you're talking about doing, or do we need to?
Mr. Chair, Senator Higgins, I think what we would recommend is an actual Section 3 under reports. There is specific language requiring the manufacturers of architectural paints through a representative organization submit a report and then just add in under in lines 3.28, the total cost of implementing the pilot program, and some language regarding an independent audit. And then specifically in 4.3, maybe be a little bit more specific regarding the agency's review and transmittal to the legislature regarding our analysis of the audit, something along those lines, if you feel like that's necessary.
Well, Mr. Chair, Mr. Hickel, so you want us to mandate a yearly audit? Is that what I hear you saying?
Mr. Chair, Senator Fredrickson, it's certainly our understanding that the Paint Stewardship Organization will be doing that financial analysis. We think it is an appropriate oversight of the program for them to go through that exercise and certainly make the results public for the Pollution Control Agency.
Added other language on that 3.28 as determined by an independent audit. It seems that it was my understanding that the audit would be paid for by the Paint Stewardship Organization, but I just want to know, is this clear enough the way we have it so far that they're paying for it and yet it's still very much an independent audit of the costs?
On the bottom.
Mr. Chair, I think it needs to go a step further. It needs to be authorized to be part of the program so that they can sit down with the same money that they're collecting. That they shouldn't have to have the audit or any reports or anything that kind of be an additional expense. But it really should be part of this overall program.
Well, here's one possibility. On line 328, the total cost of implementing the pilot program, as determined by an independent financial audit, funded from revenues from the paint stewardship fee.
Can you repeat that one more time?
Right. On line 3.28, the total cost of implementing the pilot program, as determined by an independent financial audit, funded from revenues from the paint stewardship fee.
Do we have to say revenues from? Can we just say from the fee?
Sure.
Comments? Amendment. Well, I'll repeat one more time. On line 3.28, at the end of program, we would add, as determined by an independent financial audit funded from the paint stewardship fee. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Mr. Chairman, do we not need then that language on 233 to 234?
I believe we do not.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Hickel. And so we move on here to we can this 2.35 to 3.5. Have we had enough discussion on that?
Why don't you have the House move it?
Okay.
Where do you want us to move it to?
Just yep. Make the motion.
Are you actually accepting?
No. We're going to vote it down.
Yeah.
You move it.
One action.
You can move
okay.
it.
I'll make a motion that we include that language.
2.35
to 3.5.
Representative Osment moves to include the House language on 2.35 to 3.5. All in favor, say aye. Opposed?
No.
No. Motion is not adopted.
So we nasty senators.
Yeah, we did.
We did your dirty.
Senators, when they voted us down.
I didn't hear any ayes.
What?
Very lopsided there.
Yeah.
All right. Ms. Doyle.
Data.
I'm sorry. Representative Saylor.
Chairman Erdahl, did we need then to actually formally remove lines 2.33 and 2.34?
You didn't
adopt
we
them.
Didn't have three
okay,
votes here
adopt.
To put it in.
Okay, thank you. Just clarifying.
Mr. Chair, just the way it was explained to me the other day when I moved to take something out was that at this point now we're moving to put things into the final bill. So if we don't move to put it in and have it adopted, then it just falls off. So we didn't address 2.33 and 3.4, so they
okay.
just go away, and then
they disappear.
The big bad senators
okay.
killed off the other ones.
Okay.
But then there's sometimes it's nice to be able to say that the Senate wouldn't accept it.
That was the reason for the other one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Subdivision 4 is non-public data, and that this provision just provides that any data that is reported to the commissioner is non-public, and I understand this was part of the non-competitive requirements. Subdivision 5 provides for an exemption for the paint donated to the Metro Paint-A-Thon sponsored by the Greater Minneapolis Council of Churches from the fee, stewardship fee.
Chairman, I move adoption of Subdivision 4.
Senator Fredrickson moves for adoption of Subdivision 4. It's lines 3.6 to 3.11 of the House language. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion is adopted.
Mr. Chair, would you like me to continue? No.
Yes.
Okay. Section 2 of the bill. The title of Section 2 in the House has been changed to anti-competitive conduct. It was called conduct authorized in the Senate version. The language is otherwise the same in the two provisions.
Except for one word.
Representative Simon. Well, I was going to say, the only reason I was appointed to this conference committee is that provision. So
okay.
You're too kind, Representative Osmond. But I had a thought, actually, and it's that I personally like the way the Senate has a phrase in terms of what is authorized and not authorized. Well, certainly not making mention of anti-competitive conduct in the heading. I would just add a point of clarification personally that the Senate language I would want to add then on line 2.30 after the word liability, the phrase for such conduct. Well,
yeah.
I think we need an article there because it's the foregoing conduct, what was just mentioned.
Okay.
Rather than a blanket liability under state laws related to antitrust restraint, I think it's probably clear as it's written, but I'd like to clarify it by making sure that we're talking about only the conduct in this paragraph.
So are you going to move the Senate language with that?
I will. And to repeat, Senate language with the addition that on line 2.30, after the word liability, we insert the words for the conduct.
On that motion, is there any discussion?
I would just like to check with Ms. Keene just to make sure that that, you know, is something that that language is sufficient for what they had put in place before.
Ms. Keene?
Thank you. We would not oppose the addition of the for the conduct language. There's still, nor conduct authorized versus anti-competitive conduct. But the in line 3.17, instead of engaging in anti-competitive conduct to the extent necessary, it just now says engaging in conduct. And our outside counsel had a bit of a problem with that being as open-ended as the conduct that is being authorized for this program is that specific anti-competitive conduct that we need the state actor and doctrine to allow us to do. And right now it just leaves it as conduct, not specific.
Sure. Well, I just had a question. Is it that the word anti-competitive is necessary according to your counsel, or is it that the description needs to convey that that's what it allows?
Ms. Keene.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe the tighter the language, the better off they felt will be. So in answer to your question, it's actually both. Not only did they want to see the intent there, but that the specific language helps very much with the court cases that they researched.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. If that's the case, then what would you think about the comfort word that would add, just for a second, looking at the House language, something that would say on line 3.18, after the word conduct, the word only. Only to the extent necessary to plan and implement its chosen, et cetera. I just want to make sure that we are doing only what's necessary.
Mr. Chair, I don't think we'd have a problem with that as long as there's the anti-competitive conduct is what we're talking about, only to the extent necessary, that it's specifically spelled out that that's what you're implementing or authorizing us to engage in.
In that case, Mr. Chair, I would then change, I'll withdraw my previous motion, and I'll make a different motion, which is that we
You know what? You can fix the 2.2.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's what we should do. Okay. Here's what the motion is, that we adopt the Senate language and that we make the following additions. The first addition on line 2.28, before the word conduct, after the word in and before conduct, the word anti-competitive. After the word conduct, the word only on line 2.28. And then on line 2.30, after the word liability, add the words for the conduct.
On that motion, is there any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Very good thing.
Thank you, Representative Sun.
Are we going to adopt that section?
Yes. Would you like to move that?
I'll move that.
Okay. Representative Osmond moves adoption of Section 2, Senate language as amended. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Section 3 is the report section. There are some differences here. The first one is a difference in date for the House version beginning July 1st, 2009, and also each year thereafter. The reports will, first of all, they'll go to the commissioner of the Pollution Control Agency, and also the sets it. They also set forth the contents of the report. And then I'm trying to see if there's something different up here. And then in B, after they set forth the contents of the report, starting or on January 1st, 2011, the commissioner must shall submit a report to the chairs and ranking minority members of the committees to describing the results of the program and recommending whether or it should be made permanent and if there are any modifications should be made. This is similar to the section in the Senate side. The date is different, though. On 2.33, it says by January 15th, 2010. I know that normally we like dates to be on the 15th instead of the 1st, but that's obviously up to the committee. Then the difference in the 2011 and 2010. There's also some language. I'm sorry. There's some language on 3.3 in the Senate version regarding the anti-competitive conduct that I don't see that language in the.
Right. It looks like we're addressing the Judiciary Committee in the Senate versus the committee that has jurisdiction over solid waste policy. In
yes.
The House. And so we need to. I don't know. If we need to have. Do we need to determine whether or not those exemptions for the antitrust need to be reviewed and suspended at that point, or if they're going to continue on? I'm assuming that, you know, part of the program goes on, we still want to have that language in place. Mm-hmm. Or do we need to go to both Judiciary and committee that would cover solid waste?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Higgins.
Can't the Pollution Control Agency just send it to the legislature and send it by email to the legislature? Save the price of printing and no, we can't. Kathy's shaking her head.
Yes. Actually, another part of the statute prohibits us from sending it to anybody that you haven't either directed us to send you a report or that someone has specifically asked us for a report. That was a source reduction technique that the legislature adopted.
Mr. Chair, if we require it by email, then you're not saving paper. I mean, that's the ultimate saving paper if we require an electronic report, which is good stewardship as well.
Could I have Ms. Keene come back up? I just wanted to talk to her briefly about this. First of all, I'd like to start off with the dates here. Let's see, when is this program, the pilot program, supposed to, what's the idea for the intent for the end of this pilot project? So I've got almost a difference of a year or so here. So could you address that, please?
Certainly, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure why the dates are different, but the intent was to start on July 1st of this year and run the pilot for a year. But then be able to have enough time to submit the reports and submit the recommendation for continuing the program in whatever manner that recommendation.
So January 15th, 2010, is related, that way the session would be in. We'd be in session. That would be the time frame that we'd be looking at that was originally proposed.
Yes. Okay. Yes, Mr. Chair. We wouldn't want to stop in the middle of the summer and not have the ability to continue on with the recommendation. So I believe 2010 should be the date.
PSO reporting to the Pollution Control Agency and then having the Pollution Control Agency reporting to the legislature.
Yes, that's correct. We would want the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency to have the state authority to make the recommendations to you, not just directly from the manufacturers and retailers of part of the PSO.
Okay. So the Senate language right now has it with PSO would be reporting to the legislature. Date is correct.
Correct.
All right. Senator Ferguson.
Mr. Chairman, do you want to pick up that phrase from the Judiciary Committee, whether the exception for anti-competitive behavior should be permanent, or is that superfluous?
Well, I will ask Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm open to any explanation from the Senate side. I'm not so sure that that's needed. It seems to me it may be, Senator Ferguson, superfluous in the sense that if you have the program, you're going to have the authorization of the conduct. So I don't know how we'd have the situation where the program would be ongoing, yet we would take away the authorization for the conduct. So I don't think that's what needs to be reviewed. I think other things maybe need to be reviewed, but probably not that. But I'm open to hearing what others have to say about it. Maybe I'm just missing it.
So we really don't need that in there.
We'll cave into the house.
Okay. Okay. And we're okay with the rest of the prescriptions on the report.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Higgins.
We could add an item that the report must contain a recommendation on whether the exemption for anti-competitive conduct should be made permanent. That would be one way to do it.
Okay.
I don't care much one way or the other.
You convinced me we didn't need it.
I think the word usable on 4.1 is spelled wrong, or at least spelled with an archaic spelling.
Okay.
And, Mr. Chair, I'd like to throw out for a little discussion whether we want to require an electronic report rather than a paper report.
Any comments on whether you electronic report versus a paper report?
Mr. Chair, I think maybe it would be clarified. It seems to me that Kathy Mogert earlier stated that there already was a policy in place with regard to waste reduction. Does that already cover
would
the back?
Would you come up and just for the record so we get you on, please your name and address that, please. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Kathy Mogert, and I'm a director at the Pollution Control Agency. You can specify the way that you want the report directly in the legislation, and we're willing to do that. What the restriction is in, I can't remember the exact place in 115A, but there's a restriction that we can't provide it to anybody other than who you specify. So as long as you specify in here who exactly gets the report, we can provide it in whatever format you want.
If we don't do that, then what's the prescription? Because obviously this is a statewide program, and a lot of people don't want to have access to this information.
Mr. Chair and members, our policy at the Pollution Control Agency is that we don't print a lot of reports. So almost all of our reports are available online or through a CD that people can request. And then we print paper copies, a few for our resource center for people who don't have computers, and then usually one to each of the chairs for their purposes, and then usually they, you know, provide a link or some other mechanism to get that information to the rest of the members of that committee. So we print as few as possible.
Representative Osmond.
Chair, it was a response years ago to the fact that we used to get volumes of reports.
Yes.
On every report that you're requesting, we would all get a copy of it, and you'd end up with a stack like this on your desk that you never touched, and we said enough. If you want the report, ask for it. Otherwise, don't send it to us.
Mr. Chair.
Senator
Hayes. Could we require that this be put on the PCA's website?
It will be automatically.
Okay. Do you still want to explore this?
No, I think they do the responsible thing, and
okay.
So I'll stop talking about it.
Okay.
But we, Mr. Chair, we'll move on 4.3, changing January 1. Is 2011 the right date? I've lost track.
No.
January 15th, 2010.
4.3, and changing, you want to change that spelling and usable.
And Mr. Chair, with those edits as we've been working through them, I will move section 3 of the House.
Mr. Chairman, we also amended this, didn't we? So
right.
Mm-hmm. To repeat as an amendment.
We, Senator Higgins moves that we would amend line 4.3 to read January 15th, 2010. Remove the E from your usable in line 4.1. First E. Mm-hmm. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. And then Senator Higgins also moves that we adopt section 3 as amended. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Yes. Mr. Chair, the final piece is section 4, the expiration date, and the difference, there is a difference in the date. The Senate version expires sections 1 to 3 on November 30th, 2010, and the House is set to expire on January 31st, 2011. And the effective date is the same for both.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, Senator Higgins.
I if we have the January 15th, 2010 report date, and then, let me go back to the original language. The House had it, the report was due on January 1st, and then the program expired at the end of that same month.
Mm-hmm.
Was that something that the House thought about directly, or did it just sort of happen?
Mr. Chair, we're trying to recall where that actually came from and the various permutations.
Obviously, it was well thought out.
Probably overthought.
Ms. Keene, if I could have you come up one last time here then and talk about the expiration of this program and what your thoughts were, how much additional time you would need beyond the report, you know, before we'd want to close down the pilot project.
Yes, I believe, Mr. Chair, that the thinking here was that if we reported
on January 2010,
at the beginning of that legislative session,
yeah,
that you wouldn't want it to expire till at least the end of that session or the next year, so that, again, if a recommendation would be to continue the program with whatever changes or implementation issues are necessary, you'd want enough time to get that new piece of legislation through, and you wouldn't want to have a lag time where the program expired before that new piece of legislation was in. I believe that's why then it came a year later. Whether it needs to be a year later or 6 months, I'm not sure what your session timing is in that year.
Mr. Chairman, why don't we kind of split the difference and go to the end of the fiscal year and change the date so it expires on June 30th, 2010.
Okay. Senator Frederickson moves that we amend line 4.9 to June 30th, 2010. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. Senator Frederickson also moves to adopt section 4 as amended. All in favor? Opposed? That section is adopted. Senator Higgins moves section 5 to be adopted. Further comments, questions? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? That motion is adopted. That completes. Representative Osmond.
Mr. Chair, I have one more thought. Is there, in the reports, or,
and I didn't know exactly where to do it or what to do with it, so it's really way too or done with it. But
some way we could say that we would get information back to the legislature with regard to the fiscal impact, positive impacts on counties and or taxpayers, some type of a report or evaluation. I don't know if the agency may have as a suggestion along that line, but the
difficulty we have from a political nature is that people are wondering where's the cost savings, and it's because we are paying it in our property taxes, and yet this program could have a potential savings there, but you're not going to see it unless somebody actually takes it into account and tells us about it. And I'm wondering if that would be possible, or how we would even word it if that was realistic.
Mr. Hickel.
Mr. Chair, Representative Osment, we would certainly address that issue in the report that the commissioner is required to submit to the legislature right now. It's fairly open in terms of the issues that we can address, and that would certainly be one of them. I think that if you felt that being very specific regarding the savings to household hazardous waste programs, local government, consumers, what have you, that would certainly be something that we'd be happy to evaluate.
I'm suggesting it may be something we'd like to have spelled out so we can point it at people that that's one of the outcomes of this, is that it's to save money. It's for exactly what you described in the form of local governments and consumers, taxpayers.
Mr. Chair, my problem is trying to figure out those savings won't be reflected because property taxes will not have changed yet. So I'm wondering how the agency might go about measuring those savings or potential savings.
Mr. Chair, what we would do, just thinking about this right off the top of my head, is I think we would do a survey of the county programs. So there's 57 household hazardous waste programs across the state. We would do a survey of those existing programs regarding the savings that they have realized regarding after the paint stewardship organization had assumed some of the costs and responsibilities that those programs had been bearing up to this point. I think we could probably also work directly with the paint stewardship organization to get an understanding of obviously the volumes collected, the dollars expended on their part, and make some assumptions in terms of how much money was offset from the overall county programs. So I think there's a couple different ways we could approach it, similar to what we're doing right now to try to gauge the effectiveness and cost savings for local government of the waste electronics law that was passed last session.
Mr. Chairman, how about on paragraph B after 4.7, where it's, the report is, just include a sentence that says, the report shall include an analysis of the costs avoided by the state and local units of government because of the program. The report shall include an analysis of the costs avoided by the state and local units of government because of the program, or as a result of the program.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I would just suggest adding potential, the word potential savings, because at this point we won't really know
potential costs,
what they are. Otherwise, I agree with the wording on that.
And Mr. Chair, Senator Fredrickson, do you want that in that paragraph B, or do you want it up as one of the numbered items above that?
Representative Saylor?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, and Senator Higgins, I was thinking of that also, but I think that all those numbered pieces actually refer to the report that needs to come from the paint stewardship program, and this would be information that would be coming from the commissioner, so
sure.
We need to have it separate for that reason.
We'd have a B section and change B to C.
No, we just add it to
just add
it.
B. Okay. After the period in 4.7.
Right.
Okay.
Good. Chairman, I would move that language. All right. I'll share it with
Senator Fredrickson. Will moves that language to the end of 4.7 of the House language. So do you have that?
Mm-hmm.
No? Okay. Any further questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Mr. Chair. The language on 3.32 and 3.3 kind of just jumped out at me. That's the only reference to latex paint, and I'm wondering, is this only going to recycle and collect latex paint now? Are we not dealing with oil-based paint? Is this? I don't understand why that reference came in there.
Tim Lyon, Mr. Chair and Senator Higgins, no, it is the intent that all paint be collected. And I think perhaps, maybe Garth, Mr. Hickel, or someone else could explain a little bit more about that latex.
That's
I think
right.
Mr. Chair, members, maybe Ms. Keene wants to address this. I see Garth is waiting there, too, Mr. Hickel. I think there's some question as to whether or not I think there's some question as to whether or not latex paint is really necessary to recycle, in the sense that we don't know what the carbon footprint is of it. There might be a larger carbon footprint from recycling latex paint than from not recycling it. We already know that oil-based paint is a hazardous waste. I think there's some question in terms of paint utilization whether or not latex paint fits into that category. So that's something that we certainly wanted to have inserted in here, was to make sure that we did an evaluation of latex paint and how valuable it is to actually have it recycled. That makes sense?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Barry Tilley, I represent the Solid Waste Management Coordinating Board. It has occurred to me that we refer to a representative organization here several times through the bill, and we don't define it. And in the past, I've thought that's not a big deal. But there was a fair amount of discussion on the House floor wondering what this organization was and who controls it and all of that. And I'm wondering if we can avoid some further discussion if we do define the representative organization, that it's a 501c3, that et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and general scope of operation. Just a thought. Thank you.
Do we want to put that in definitions? I know you said before we had it in another section referred to, but I think we need to really spell that out.
Does someone have an actual definition that they want to add?
We're looking at other
stakeholders that have been working on this.
Chairman Dahl, I think that's the problem, is that we haven't, you know, it doesn't exist yet. But, see what it could be. Yeah.
I'm just wondering if maybe we should just set this aside for now and come back when we do get a definition, let the staff and the industry and others kind of work on it to make sure we have a definition that will really hold up. I agree, it will be very beneficial for us to have a definition. It would be worse if we had a definition that somebody shoots holes in. But, to me, it may want to take a little time. I don't know
unless there's an urgency, and I'm not aware of an urgency.
No. Other than to make sure that it actually gets passed this session.
Yeah.
We have a day or two on that.
Yeah.
But a day delay, was it?
I heard.
We'll hear from Ms. Keene.
Again, a little bit of a catch-22 situation, Mr. Chair and representatives. We technically shouldn't be doing this without the implementation, the authorized implementation from the state. So we haven't put the organization into it. Just hasn't been created yet. We're waiting for this to take that step. So I agree that we can perhaps work on that definition or language as it happens. I do believe from a recommendation from an outside counsel that it will be a 501c3. I'm not sure what other definitions or specificity we would need with that, but I can certainly check again with our outside counsel. But again, the reason it's not there, I guess, as far as an argument is concerned, what, who is this, why is this, is we simply don't have the authorization to do that yet.
Okay. But they do.
Yes, you do.
Right. That's why we should take some time to describe it. That's a good idea.
That would also probably give us time to get all of that edits.
Get a chance to look at it.
Right.
Well, then we could recess until the call of the chair. And
Mr. Chairman, why don't we have staff do a draft of a conference committee report and then round robin it tomorrow or Thursday?
Okay. That's always a good point. Chair, I'd suggest that we adjourn for now and then to the call of the chair. I believe you're probably rotating chairs.
Yeah.
So.
Sounds good.
So we'll do it. And call the chair. We have the other meeting. Thank you. Thank you all for coming. We adjourn. Yes, we adjourn.
Absolutely. Everything. Every word of it.
See you later.
Oh, one of those.
Well, I believe I've inherited that.
You got that one now,
I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you, Senator.
Yep, you're welcome.
We'll get that around as quickly as possible.
Okay.
Your report was great. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
One more thing.
One more thing. Okay. We'll see you tomorrow then.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. My pleasure.
Chargeable batteries.
Where is it?
You might need to not even need to.
We had just done all that part of the
talk. I would just do it because the problem is we may get some future.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Well, yeah, thank you.
Excellent job. Very efficient.
You're not going to hang around tonight, right?
Or sure. Not until tomorrow.
We'll be in town for a couple of days. Do you think we can wrap it up in the next couple of days? Thank you.
Sure.
Now while it's fresh.
I'm not sure that we would have done without
her.
For tomorrow.
That's fine.
I've got 3 bills on the floor. What's your schedule look like?
I have some bills on the floor. No.
I think we're in a session at 10:30.
Okay. You know, once they're in session, I'm probably kind of open after that,
yeah.
I guess. I mean, maybe we can step out if you, unless you have to monitor if you have some bills.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't say anymore. I don't think it'll be a problem because this took us 3.5 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
It was horrible. It was the worst experience.
Well, I was looking at the journal or the.
Oh, God.
And I thought, oh, my gosh.
Watch the tape if you really want. Anyway.
Well, I can do a clean copy and write up what I think we decided today.
If you can take a first stab at it.
Yeah, I'll do that.
I don't think I missed any.
No,
much.
I
mean, I think between the two of us,
we should be
probably,
okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have an idea of what they want the representative organization, how they want it to
I have
defined.
An idea on that.
Okay.
I was just talking
if
with
you wanna go, if you want to do that, I'll try to do the edits or the amendments that we made here.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this is just a, yeah.
Well,
go ahead.
The way to use it. Well,
tell me, because you know I don't know.
Yeah, well,
and you know, somebody usually let John
never got.
Sure.
But, and it helps that this is short. I guess I would just take a clean copy of this and put the edits on it so everybody can see what got changed to what.
Mm-hmm.
and I usually put a line.
Yep.
What's adopted?
Adopted, okay.
This is exactly what
we only adopted like one section from the second.
Right, right. And then we'll just come back and let them review it.
Okay.
And
it's the same.
Take it from there.
So do you
the last
pop. Do you write it in and make a copy? Is that what you're saying? Or because, you know, it's a PDF version.
Thank you.
Could you do track and change? No, it's a PDF.
No, it's a PDF. I mean, the only other thing
I can do. No, I would handwrite it.
Okay, I mean, I just could do it like this. Yeah.
If that's not a problem.
And I have an exam.
Okay. And I'm just reminding myself that we switched